again, dear friends. I hope you recognize that theme song. If you've been listening to this broadcast, you know it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you today in the Word of God. Oh, what a precious book the Bible is. What a wonderful God our Father is, and what a wonderful Savior He sent us in Jesus Christ, and what a precious Holy Spirit is with us on our journey home. Praise God. So, if you will take a little time out of the busyness of your day to let the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, invest in your heart, in your life, I believe it's going to give us a little pause from this passing world and all of its pressures and troubles and trials, tribulations, and give us a little rest. It's like finding an oasis in a desert when you get in the Word of God and it starts to get inside of you. Praise God. You know, there's a scripture back in the Old Covenant, and it says that good news from a far country is like a cool drink of water to a thirsty soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we just want you to have a cool drink of water for your thirsty soul today, right from the Word of God in just a few moments. We're glad to be with you once again right here on WMAF in North Florida. We consider Madison our primary target of this ministry. This is your hometown radio station, and we are happy to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. And you that are in the North Florida area that hear this station, this is a very unique station. It has a niche of its own. It has a footprint that is very, very clear. Classic country, classic gospel, family friendly. Praise the Lord. So you can tune to WMAF all day and know that you're not going to hear things that make your ears just kind of catch on fire and cause your children to be hustled out of the room while you turn it down. This is a good family-friendly station, and we're just so happy to be part of the broadcast family here. We understand that there are many who listen by computer to this station, and that's a growing number. I know it is here in the Tampa area. We have nothing like WMAF here, and so we welcome you today that are tuned into the World Wide Web. If you would like to go to our website and see where we're coming from, a little bit about who we are, download any sermon materials that you would like to that are available free there with no strings attached, just type in Pastor Robert A. Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E, and it'll take you to the Holy Church of God Incorporated here in Tampa, Florida, and that's where we have been pastored going on our 37th year now. Praise God, and God has been good to us. He's always kept us in some situation where we could reach out with the ministry and the message of the gospel. And we're grateful that this is what He's using right now, this radio broadcast. So if we're part of your devotional life, we're glad that you will allow that and permit it. We're honored to be able to gather around the Word of God with you today. If you're a new listener, please stay tuned. You can assess this ministry and this message. We have no ulterior motive here except to tell people about Jesus, hence the name of the broadcast. Praise God. With no further ado, let's get into the Word of God today. We've been studying supernatural confirmation, the four wonders of Calvary. We've covered three of them in three broadcasts. We're going to cover the fourth today. I want to stay on the onset, something we've stated before, that the four supernatural events that surrounded Christ's sacrificial death on the cross signified this certainly was no ordinary man hanging on the cross. And his death was no ordinary death. Time was indeed invaded by eternity as heaven touched the earth. I'm going to read from two verses from the book of Luke and four verses from the book of Matthew. Matthew 27, Luke 23. Luke 23, 44 and 45 says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour." That's from 12 until 3 p.m. "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Matthew comments in Matthew 27:51, 52, and 53, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." Friend, if that's not supernatural confirmation, I don't know how you would describe anything supernatural. Jesus is raised from the dead, and many of the saints who slept were also raised, went into the city, and were seen of many. The tombs broke open. The veil of the temple is rent. There's darkness in the middle of the day. And now, a death has been declared conquered through the blood and body of Jesus on that cross. Hallelujah. Amen. The tombs literally broke open. Commentators have various views about this mysterious event, but at the very minimum, it signifies that death has been defeated. Matthew Henry writes, and I quote, "Jesus Christ, by dying, conquered, disarmed, and disabled death. These saints that arose were the present trophies of the victory of Christ's cross over the powers of death, which he thus made a show openly." Praise God, a show of openly. Because Jesus has the power over death, friend, we have the guarantee that we are going to live again. Praise the Lord. And we're going to live with him forever in heaven. And we can get into the details of that, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. If you think you're going to sit on a cloud and strum a harp for eternity, I wouldn't be too excited either. But if you understand that that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem is going to come down and rest upon this planet, and God is going to make it like it was before the fall, and we're going to live here with him forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is an incredible gospel, an incredible future for those who trust in the Lord. Amen. If the tombs, it's as if the tombs could not hold their occupants in light of what had happened on the cross. The curse of death from Genesis 3 is reversed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is but the precursor to what will take place for all believers when we are raised to new life. Praise the Lord. Charles Wesley wrote one of my favorite hymns called "And Can It Be?" It contains deep theology and a wonderful comprehension of what Jesus was doing on the cross and the fact and who Jesus was dying on that cross. He said in this wonderful verse of that great hymn, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood, died for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" Praise the Lord. The Bible teaches that to be without God in this world is to be without that blessed hope in this present world. So the resurrection of Jesus is so essential to living our lives in the light of death. We see it around us. We see it every single day. We experience it in our families as loved ones are taken by death. And if we didn't have the hope that comes to us through the resurrection of Jesus and the assurance that we will live forever with him, then this would be a dismal, disappointing, depressing life. One Russian and a novelist who wrote in his autobiography, he said something about, and this he died in 1977. This was shortly before he died, I understand, that he wrote this. And this is what he had to look forward to in a godless, atheistic, Marxist, communist nation. He said that our existence is but a brief crack of light between two eternities of darkness. Well, what a terrible way to look at life. If there's no resurrection, if there's no salvation from our sins, if there's nothing, no hope when a child dies young, and we lose that child, and that child is going to be lost forever. There's no hope of escaping eternal banishment and punishment. There's no hope of life, and there's no hope of reunion. You know, the heavenly city is beyond any comprehension, even as it's detailed in the book of Revelation. As John looked at it, described the foundations, the gates, the streets of purest gold. But that city, in all of its glory and majesty, if we could never be reunited with the people we love again, if we didn't have life eternal and couldn't look forward to seeing that mom, that dad that believed on Christ, that child that was taken directly into the arms of Jesus, if we couldn't have that assurance, that husband, that wife, that a part of our heart was torn off when they passed away, if there wasn't something beyond this fallen world that death has invaded, oh, friend, we would be without God and without hope. But we are not without hope. Even the funerals that are on television, movies and broadcasts. There's this minister standing at a graveside, and he's talking about committing this person, this body, to the ground, in the certain hope of the resurrection. I like that kind of terminology, because the hope is certain. And the reason it is not mere speculation or wishful thinking is because that God raised Jesus from the dead. His sacrifice for sin and its consequences was accepted, paid in full at Calvary. Praise God. Amen. It's good to live in America, where the gospel is preached and has been preached, and there's hope of Him and hope of heaven. Regardless of what all the detractors say, there is a believing body of people in this nation that are tenaciously holding to the certain hope. And therefore, we're not like others who have no hope. It's a true story. Be glad you were raised here in America, with all of our faults, failures, and complications, than raised in one of these atheistic countries. An American diplomat who spent over a year in the Soviet Union said, and I quote, "There's nothing sadder than a Russian funeral, with no words to console, no comfort for the grieving, no proclamation of hope." The fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fountain of hope that even death cannot conquer. Praise the Lord. That is why that we rejoice and sing. That's the reason for all the gospel music that you've been listening to right here on WMAF. Praise the Lord. Did you know if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, the Bible said our faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain, we are yet in our sins, and the dead are not raised. We're just like the rest of the world, facing a hopeless end. But instead, because of the resurrection, we are looking forward to an endless hope. It is a hope that's grounded in the certainty of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively or living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." I've been saying something for years, and I'm still saying it. It's getting to the point that even the church and many Christians are getting so earthbound and looking at the material, temporal world that we're missing the blessed hope that is given to us about the eternal, the spiritual. And that death can't conquer, that will never end. Praise God. We're on our way to heaven, not just to a place, but to enjoy eternal life with God forever. And it's getting to the point that the only place to hear a good sermon on the spiritual and the eternal, a sermon on heaven, is at a funeral. And that's a sad thing. because heaven ought to be part of our daily conversation. It shouldn't take the death of a friend or a loved one or a family member to get us with our hearts set upon that place and upon Jesus, and to celebrate the gift of eternal life. Praise God. It's His resurrection and the promise of our resurrection that caused the early church to rejoice under such persecution, willing to lay down their life because they know only the body would drop to the ground and that they themselves would not go into a grave. To be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. And when the resurrection of the church of Jesus, all that have died in Christ, takes place, our bodies and spirits will be reunited to live forever with Him. Praise the Lord. His resurrection is the blessed assurance of our resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." There's no doubt about it. He has power over death. He has power over the grave. He didn't conquer it for Himself. He came here to conquer it in our behalf. Praise the Lord. He didn't need redemption. He didn't come here for something He needed to do. And He came here for something we needed and could not do for ourselves. Taking on flesh, He did it in our behalf. It took sinless blood to forgive our sins. It took sinless blood to conquer the sentence of death that came through Adam's fall and sin. The Bible literally teaches through Adam, sin, one man's sin, death reigned upon all men. Therefore, through one man's obedience, life has now reigned. Isn't that incredible? Jesus was tempted as we are, yet without sin, so that when He died on the cross, that curse could be broken. The curse of sin and death is broken. The last enemy, the last part, is physical death. Spiritual death is already conquered, praise God. Amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, "Now therefore there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death." That law has been broken by what Jesus did for us on the cross, and God ratified that. He showed that He was satisfied with His sacrifice by raising Him from the dead. His resurrection assures us of our resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." And I love 2 Corinthians 4:14. If you're writing these scriptures down, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Praise God. His resurrection, friend, assures us of our resurrection. The Bible literally calls Him the first fruits of them that slept, literally meaning He is the first man that was ever raised from the dead, never to die again. Oh yes, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. A lady's son in the Old Testament was raised from the dead. There's instances of so many that have been raised from the dead, but they were raised from the dead to die again, to just live out the rest of their days, but eventually and essentially they had to die again. But Jesus was the first human being to be raised from the dead. He was God, but He was also fully man. And He was raised from the dead, never to die again. and he became the first fruits of them that slept. And God has given us through his word the full assurance that we who trust in Jesus Christ will never die, but we will live with him forever. Our bodies will die until the general resurrection, but even they will be raised from the dead and transformed like unto his glorious body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Someone asked me one time, Pastor Venable, will I know you in heaven? I guess they assumed that disembodied spirits would sit on clouds and they'd all look alike and we couldn't even distinguish one another. What kind of place would that be? What kind of heaven would that be? When a mother who lost that little girl could never hope of recognizing her when we get there. That wonderful mother that served her family so faithfully couldn't be recognized when we get to heaven. Listen, friend, the holy city, as glorious as it is, it's not going to be the city that I essentially look for when I get to heaven. I'm looking for Jesus who died for me. I'm glad I'm going to be able to recognize him. I'm glad I'm going to be able to tell him face to face, looking him in the eye, how much I appreciate what he has done for me on that cross. Oh, and I'm glad I'm going to see my daughter, Lisa Marie Venable, who is in heaven and died prematurely, 4 days old, beautiful little girl, perfectly formed, long black hair. She passed away as a preemie, but she didn't cease to exist. Praise God. I have two sons and a daughter. Two sons on the earth, a daughter in heaven, and my daughter is just as real as my two sons are. Praise God. Amen. Going to be reunited. I got a precious daddy. He's 90 years old. Any day he could be called home, but I will see him again. Praise God, and he will see me again. I love that great song. You might have heard it here. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? No, it will not. For Jesus Christ has conquered death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has the keys of hell and of death, so nothing can prevent him from raising us up. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. How wonderful, how marvelous it is to be the object of God's mercy and grace, by which he hath begotten us into a living hope that is both sure and steadfast, being grounded in grace and mercy and the Lord's own resurrection from the dead. When in the Gospel of Matthew, tells his version of the resurrection story, it's filled with a host of apocalyptic images and events that the other gospel writers do not include. They're very important. Earthquakes, splitting of rocks, opening of tombs, the resurrection of Jesus and all those who came out of those tombs with him and were seen of many. It is Matthew's way of signaling that the resurrection was not just something spectacular that happened to Jesus, but a decisive event in human history. Jesus' resurrection turned the world upside down and will turn our lives upside down as well. There are many enemies of the cross today, many who seek to destroy the faith and deceive the faithful. But the resurrection of Christ still stands as the sign that God gives to us and to an unbelieving world. I really like what Ray Comfort said. He said, a blind, anemic, weak-kneed flea on crutches would have a better chance of defeating a herd of 1,000 wild, stampeding elephants than the devil has of defeating God. I want to read that again. I like that kind of faith and that kind of bold statement. A blind, anemic, weak-kneed flea on crutches would have a better chance of defeating a herd of 1,000 wild stampeding elephants than the devil has of defeating our God. I want you to know when Jesus conquered death, he conquered the devil as well. We were all held in bondage by the devil, by the fear of death. But Jesus Christ has conquered him. He has absolutely done that great act on the cross that can set the captive free from Satan's prison house. You may be a captive. You may be a captive to alcohol, to drugs, to lust, to sins that you can't break. I want you to know what Jesus did on Calvary through his death and through his resurrection has been done to set you free. If you decide to come to Christ today, I want you to know that there's no power in hell that can stop you. God will not let Satan's claim on you override and overrule the blood of Jesus Christ's claim on you. And if you want to be free today, if you want to be saved today, if you want to know Jesus as your Savior, if you want to make a 180-degree turn and choose life instead of death, and choose heaven instead of hell, and choose Christ instead of Satan, there's not a power in hell that can stop you today. Amen. If you want to make the choice, God will let every resource of heaven stand to set you free from the powers of darkness. And you can be transformed today. Oh, friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you not let all that he did and all that it accomplished keep you from coming to him today? Would you right now bow your head? And if you're driving, bow your heart. And just say, Jesus Christ, I've sinned against you. But I would never choose hell over heaven, Satan over you. Eternal banishment and punishment over eternal life and blessing. Today, I choose to receive you as my Lord, my Savior. I change masters today. Master me. Save me. Forgive my sin. Seal me with the Holy Spirit. Wash me in your precious blood. Oh, friend, if you do that right now, the Scripture is very clear that death will lose its claim on you. Eternal life, the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus, will cancel that law of sin and death. It will be as if you had never sinned. That's the grace. That's the mercy of your great God. And God will confirm it to you because he will change you from the inside out. Hallelujah. Today, if you're a Christian and you are struggling, and the world is calling, the world is pulling you, you're so caught up in this world, you're not preparing for the next. Ah, God is calling you to raise your eyes, to get a glimpse of the glory that's going to be revealed in us on that day when he comes. And friend, his coming is very, very near. Start living for heaven and start today. Rearrange your priorities. Get in a Bible-believing church where you're challenged every Sunday. And follow the Lord to your heavenly home. Travel light. This world is passing. Where we're going is forever. Age without end. Well, it's been a great broadcast for me. I'm excited in the Lord. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
things to shame. Their willing hearts will be their treasure by the power.